May the Lord give you his peace. Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio's Daily Message of Hope. This is Father Stosh Daly joining you live from St. Gabriel Radio Catholic Studios, and I'm joined by Father Adam Streitenberger.
Hello.
We're in the first, now the second day of Lent. This day of the Eucharist, this Thursday is the day of the Eucharist because of Holy Thursday, the first Mass at the Last Supper. Now, as we're going into the second day of Lent here, we have an opportunity to just revisit this 40 days of adoration, Ash Wednesday to Palm Sunday, that we are experiencing right now in Central Ohio, in the Diocese of Columbus in particular. And Father Adam has been one of the key players in organizing the 40 days of adoration. First of all, Father Adam, what is the 40 days of adoration?
40 days of adoration are 40 days in which different churches around the diocese will be hosting exposition of the Blessed Sacrament throughout the day so that the faithful, not just from that parish, but from other parishes throughout the diocese, the whole church could come and make a visit.
Yeah. And so today, on this Thursday, St. Vincent de Paul is the station church for today, kind of like the shrine church today, to welcome people to adore the Lord. So February 18th is Thursday, St. Vincent de Paul. 40 days of adoration, 40 days of Lent. How did we arrive at having the 40 days of adoration, having these different churches? It's a great idea. It's ancient, actually, in practice as Roman Catholics. How did we come to employ it this year?
Well, one is, so the bishop is really calling the diocese into a special time of prayer for the diocese as we begin to pray for our future and our needs as a diocese. So, you know, the bishop very much has on his heart that we should be a church on mission of missionary disciples, that evangelization be really what we are about. And in order to do that, we really need to look at the diocese, the diocesan offices, our parishes and parish structures, our schools and school structures, and to see how can we be about the formation of missionary disciples and be about really proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to Christ and evangelizing in this area of Ohio, of the Diocese of Columbus. So, you know, with that, you know, we know that the Lord has to be the primary agent in our planning. And the only way that we allow the Lord to be the primary agent of our planning is to pray. And so these 40 days are really designated to pray for the diocese and those involved in the planning, and that we might be open to the great work of the Lord. I think also, you know, as we've emerged slowly from the COVID shutdown and the COVID pandemic, we all recognize that many people haven't come back yet. And so this is an opportunity to really, we might say, get back on our horses, you know, like to get back into the life of the sacraments, to return to Mass, to return to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And certainly with that, I think, is to give thanks to the Lord for the gift of the Blessed Sacrament. I'd also kind of, I think a third point, which kind of goes towards that first of planning is, you know, if we are going to be a diocese about evangelization and a diocese on mission, as the bishop desires, we really have to have this culture of discipleship in which really the Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of each of our lives, and that we really see him as our master and the Lord of all the aspects of our life, and that we view ourselves as his disciples. And so part of this time of prayer is also that we might be open to this new culture of, you know, and it's not a new culture. It's the culture of the New Testament. It's the culture, you know, of holiness. It's the culture of saints. And really that be what we be about is following the Lord. And I think the Eucharist is the primary place where we're going to encounter him and to be to discern our mission and to be set off. And so that's why, and of course, you know, we borrow this idea of visiting different churches throughout Lent from the ancient Roman practice,
Which is fitting because we're Roman Catholics.
Exactly.
So it's good for us to stay in touch with our Roman roots.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go to Mass and you hear the Sanctus sung in Latin, or when you're not in Lent, you might hear the Gloria in Latin or the Agnus Dei. And a lot of people, unfortunately, kind of think that's, okay, that's left over from Rome. But, you know, there's a deep connection which keeps us in union with our brothers and sisters of the ancient church in Rome. You know, you might hear that in the Eucharistic Prayer 1, the Roman canon, or here in our diocese during the season of Lent, where we have our own practice of the station churches. And it's one of those things, like if you have a moment, you can search online for pictures from today's station church in Rome.
Yeah.
And you'll see pictures of a procession going through the streets or the alleys of the ancient city of Rome, the old city, and it'll conclude at a church, and there's usually a mass being offered, maybe by the pastor of the church or a bishop, an auxiliary bishop. Sometimes even the Holy Father will make the pilgrimage to that church. And yet here on our local level, we also have that opportunity to get out of our routine, get out of what is our ritual for the day, and go to that church, you know, and to visit.
One of the, you know, really the whole idea of these 14 station churches in Rome was, you know, the church in its ancient, most ancient form, there was only one mass a day in the diocese, and the bishop presided.
Yeah.
And so what this was rather than the bishop just staying at his cathedral, he would go to this church and all of the people of the city would go there for mass that day. And that, I think, also is another really great grace of this 40 Days of Adoration, is we need to be reminded that the church that we belong to, the local church, the particular church, is the diocesan church.
Right.
It's not our parish.
Right.
You know, our parish is where we go to be formed and to receive the sacraments. But really, we are members of this Church of Columbus, in which the bishop, Bishop Robert Brennan, is our pastor.
And we say Columbus because that's where the cathedral is, the cathedra, the seat of the bishop. So we can be residents of Marion or Kenton or Portsmouth or Zanesville and still be totally at ease saying, I belong to the Church of Columbus. That's where the bishop is, under whose love and guidance I'm able to practice my faith. You know, so today, you know, it's a good day for us to consider the wide array of opportunities for us to draw close to Jesus in the Eucharist, because every Thursday gives us an opportunity to once again revisit the Lord, the truth and the beauty, the liberating power of the true presence of Jesus present in the Holy Eucharist. You know, I know I've referenced it multiple times on this daily message of hope. You know, you can't have hope without the Lord. I mean, he is the one who places that virtue deep within your heart, your attachment to him, your dependency upon him. And the Lord comes to us in the Eucharist, which means the Eucharist is a source, a wellspring of hope. And then if you run into somebody who's struggling with despair or challenges or just things that seem to be insurmountable, I mean, the Lord Jesus, who is truly present in the Eucharist, he is the one who can restore their hope. And when we hear reports or studies or surveys, how there's a growing number of Catholics who they struggle in their belief in Jesus, who's present in the Eucharist. They don't believe he's present in the Eucharist. You know, what they're really saying is they struggle with hope. You know, they don't have hope right now. And if they're looking for hope, or if you're the one who's looking for hope, you know, to know you don't have to go any further or farther than the Lord who's closest to you in the tabernacle nearby. And sometimes it takes us having an opportunity to get out of our routine, get out of the house, maybe even get out of our parish and go to another place, so that we don't become locked in to a routine so much so to where we take for granted, or we become ignorant to the fact that he's present in all of these different tabernacles. You know, Father Adam works with many different movements and groups and apostolates and ministries, so you get to see your position as coordinator of evangelization. You get to work with all of these very blessed movements, really anointed movements. You know, and with your experience of young adults, young professionals, young married couples, you know, what would you say, I know this is totally off the cuff, what would you say is one of the greatest sources of joy when you are seeking to direct people's attention towards the Lord, the giver of all hope, when you work with like SPO or focus missionaries, you know?
Well, you know, it's, I mean, just to see them on before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, we just had the Fan and the Flame retreat, which is SPO's retreat, which had to be semi-virtual, but they did gather for Mass and for confessions. And then also the Focus Missionaries had their SEEK conference, which usually is a national gathering.
But and a very large
they
one,
did,
too. Yeah.
They did it virtually in pockets, you know, around the country. And in both of those experiences, there was exposition and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and Mass. And to really, you know, to see these young adults really encounter Christ and in the Eucharist. And, you know, that's the thing is Jesus is our hope and Jesus is the Blessed Sacrament. You know, the Blessed Sacrament is Jesus.
Yeah.
And ergo, if, you know, the logic is that the Eucharist is our hope.
Yeah.
And when we, you know, we are eating hope himself when we come to the, you know, when we come to receive communion, we are before the hope himself. I mean, you know, Jesus is risen from the dead. It is the risen Jesus Christ that we receive in the Eucharist. He is at the right hand of the Father simultaneous to being on the altar and to being on our tongue. And therefore, in some ways, we are at the right hand of the Father and in heaven and in and sharing in the resurrection when we are with him in the Eucharist. So, you know, I really see that, you know, like, and it is, I mean, there is a great devotion to those who get it, to those who get it, those who know Jesus, they know that he's in the Eucharist and that that's where we primarily encounter him.